Hallo und herzlich willkommen zum Finally Freelancing Podcast, dem Podcast für Freelancer aus der Kreativ- und Digitalbranche. Wir helfen nämlich genau diesen Freelancern, sich von der Zeit-gegen-Geld-Kette zu lösen, um planbar und verlässlich Neukunden zu gewinnen. Auf unserer Website finally-freelancing.de erfährst du genau, wie wir das machen, für wen wir das machen und bereits gemacht haben und ob es was für dich wäre. Folge uns zusätzlich auf Instagram unter @finally_freelancing für tägliche Behind-the-Scenes-Aufnahmen und Quick-Tipps, die du direkt umsetzen kannst. Und jetzt freue ich mich sehr auf dich und wünsche dir viel Spaß bei unserer heutigen Podcast-Folge. Let's go! Schön, dass wir heute dieses Interview machen. Im heutigen Interview besprechen wir, wie Preu von Plänen zur Selbstständigkeit und ersten Erfahrungen in der Selbstständigkeit zu ihrem ersten Kunden, den sie gewonnen hat, für ihr überarbeitetes Angebot als UX-Designerin ohne Mundpropaganda und ohne Netzwerke von anderen selbst gewonnen hat und für sie jetzt die Zusammenarbeit anfängt. Aber ich gebe das Wort an Preu über und kurze Info, ich spreche mit Preu auf Englisch. Sie lebt in Deutschland, wir arbeiten in Deutschland, aber ich glaube, sie fühlt sich etwas wohler mit Englisch, deswegen switchen wir jetzt mal auf Englisch. So, Preu, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Preu and I've been working now on really, really short, 2 months. And yeah, actually freelancing was not on my plan. It was just a really long, like 2 years. Okay, let's just work for 2 years. But talking with Marwan, I feel very inspired. We were colleagues back in one of our clients. So we went for lunch and then I feel really inspired by how he's working and decided to give freelancing a shot. So yeah, and I'm a UX designer. I didn't say yet, but
yes. Yeah. Nice. Sure. So you said we got to know each other. I remember I was there as a freelancer with a client and you just came right after me as a employee in UX design. And afterwards we stayed in contact and you knew then that I started this freelance business coaching for designers. But why don't we do you don't tell the listeners what struggles or obstacles you had with freelancing in general when thinking about going freelance as a UX designer before we started together?
Okay. Actually, for me, I felt like I was not ready because I have this thought that if you are a freelancer, you need loads of experience. You need to specialize and you need to find what you're really good at. And what I feel at that time, I think I need to work more. So that's was my perception of freelancing before. So that's why I didn't start. And Marwan, you kind of change my like idea about that it's not like that.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So the idea is also, especially you were pretty good. You're like, you are really good at what you do. And this is a common thing with a lot of people who are thinking about getting into freelancing or are already freelancers. They short sell themselves. And especially I see this is a common theme with women I work with. They tend to short sell themselves and they are always like they are hiding in something like I need to learn more. I'm not good yet. I can't pitch that. I can't be that bold and try this offer and that offer. So this is what I saw when we talked to each other. And then you decided, like, I remember we just went out for lunch and how came that you just with the lunch, I didn't even expect it. You said, okay, yeah, I want to work together with you. What was the moment or the thing that made up your mind that you decided so quickly just to work with me and give freelancing as a UX designer a try?
Yeah, well, it was also because the previous client decided not to continue working with me and I was on the job market. And I had some free time. And I also thought to myself, like, why am I waiting 2 years? Why do I have this feeling I have to wait 2 years till I can do it? Mm-hmm. And of course, there's some free stuff that I've been doing. There's people talking to me. Yeah, I really like your work. But, you know, just do it for fun. But I'm just doing it. Yes. And I thought, why not just try to make something out of it?
Yes.
And now is the time.
Nice. So was there anything else than short selling yourself you were concerned about when thinking about freelancing? What held you back from actually starting it?
Yeah, because I worked as many things before. I started my career as an illustrator and then moved into art direction and did UX. And because I've tried many things, I felt like, what is my specialty? Because a lot of people also say you have to specialize. You have to be this, oh, this is the only one thing I do. And this is why I'm so good. And instead of thinking maybe that could be my, you know, strength, I'm thinking it's my weakness. And that's also, I feel I was not ready to freelance. That was one point. And the years of experience and the, like, how to sell that, okay, how many years, I've worked 10 years as a freelancer, you know, and I've never worked as a freelancer. So I didn't know, okay, how do I go in and say now to people that, okay, this is, I'm a freelancer.
Yes.
Because most freelancers are older, you know, they started later in their career.
Yes. And I remember our very first task when we started working together as a kickoff, and I know it was really hard for you. Do you remember what we made up as an accountability for our next meeting, what you had to do?
Yes. So, yes, I remember. So, yeah, I was doing some free work. And the first task is to stop doing work for free and giving value to myself.
Yes.
Doing free work means they don't want to pay for your work.
And so, looking back, I remember how hard the decision was for you because you didn't want to let the people down. But looking back, do you think this was a good move?
Yeah, definitely. Because I felt really relieved. I think that was the first sign, even just doing it. I mean, it was difficult, but after I feel like, okay, I don't want to do this work anymore. And I do it, I feel, okay, fine. I feel like I have more time to concentrate.
Yes. So, okay, we are here, like you thought about freelancing, but you short sold yourself, you did a lot of free work, and then we actually started together, working together. And how did we solve the problems you were facing when working together?
Yeah, so I always really like your feedback because it was never like, this is what you have to be. This is what you're good at and you do it, you know? I really like that you say, what do you want to do? What is your goal? And that's really good for me because I tend to just go with whatever, okay, well, there's a market for this, let me just do that. Because I feel in myself that, okay, I'm not specialized, so I should just choose something that is successful for me. That also helped me to kind of understand first to feel confident in what I do and to feel like, yeah, I need to go for my goals. And also the community, the weekly QA calls, the people were really nice. And I sometimes get caught with the little details, and they also helped me to give a different perspective about my skills so that I can understand more from their perspective, how do I go? So I really like, so that's how we move forward and me getting clear more on what I want to do with my freelance.
Yes. And especially the feedback, I think a lot of people give me also the feedback that they love the community. I think it's so valuable because it's so focused on this specific group. Like product designers, UX designers, developers, like these are usually also the groups that would work together in a different environment. This is why you kind of speak the same language and you are not getting feedback from somebody who, I don't know, sells car parts or whatever, you know? So this also is one thing I think which contributed to the high profile or high value feedbacks you were getting.
Yeah. Yeah, because definitely they could understand my struggle as well. Like, because I talk about that I was always the only person in my career, even I was full time. So it means I have to do a lot of things. And I think they really understood because, yeah, I think UX, it is developed, but there's not a lot of people who do it well.
Yeah.
And so companies would hire one or two people to just test it out. And it was nice to have someone who had the same experience as me, because I don't really meet people like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember this was also the thing we were talking about at the past clients we were working together, that we said, oh, another UXler, and let's exchange. And we just fell into nerdy talk.
Yeah.
So we were starting out and we were guiding you towards like the balance between what you really want to do, because I think you have a different motivation behind these kind of things, but also we looked at the market needs and really try to do something which is valuable for the market. Otherwise you would end up in a dead end. And so what with these kind of strategies, what were you, what have you reached after 2 months or after now, since we are working together? What was like, you just last week you told me you got a new client for your offer. So why don't you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, actually, what really helped me first was the structure of the course, because of course, when you start understanding yourself, you can go really deep, and sometimes it feels no structure. It feels like you're just finding something, but you don't know where you're going, and slowly things are getting into place. So that helped, and I feel more confident with my skills, which lead to me talking to more people. And yeah, like I also have a perception about selling, you know, that you, as a salesperson, I must be annoying. And I think that breaks down as I start to see, okay, this is my niche, this is my client, and that's my target. And it never felt annoying. It felt really natural for me. Yes. When I start talking to them, and I really rarely have to prepare anything, you know, and it was, they wanted to talk about their products, and they want to hear more about my product. And the offer was also surprising for me, because I actually started messaging people only 2 weeks before. So I already expected like, yeah, you know, most people don't reply. And I just look at the products that I believe in and I want to work for, like choose my clients as well. And after 2 weeks, and when someone was interested and have a conversation, it was like, whoa, it's really cool, because it's not as complicated as someone makes it out to be. It's just, you're having a conversation. And yeah, the first step is of course to understand what you're good at, and that everything else for me came naturally.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like this is a thing most freelancers struggle with, really selling their offer and getting new clients for that. What is a tip you would give other freelancers which are at your position before we start working together and really are afraid of going out there and selling their product? Is there something which really changed your perspective about this and about this certain kind of topic?
Yeah, I think clients feel really great when you choose them as well, not just when they choose you. And so having that boundary and setting up, like, we're still talking about the pricing and I'm still learning it, but I'm like, okay, if I set a good price, they know my value and they know that I want to work with them and not the other way around. I think that is, then you're positioning yourself that they look like this person wants to work with you. And that's a different approach than someone who's like, no, I want to work with you. No. Like it changes the dynamics, and they feel more interested because they're like, oh, they want to work with me, what can they give to my product? So,
and
that would be the tip I would give.
What does that do with your confidence also, like regarding other clients?
Yeah, I always, like, I'm quite harsh on myself, so when these things come, I'm actually really surprised, which is a good thing.
Yes.
I'm really surprised at the feedback because I felt like I didn't even try.
You feel like what?
Like I didn't even try yes. that hard. And that's funny because there would be a job that I try, you know, a client I try so hard because I didn't think like, oh no, I want to work with them. I, you know, doing this thing where, oh, I need you. And yeah. when it went to the other way around, it didn't feel like I'm desperate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it felt great. And I felt like, well, I didn't have to work that so hard that it's not looking, you know, there's a strategy.
Yes.
So it felt really, I was proud of myself.
Nice. Yes, yeah, you yeah, can yeah. be. I got to say, like, it's not like I don't do this interview. Of course, I want to get the people from the outside to get to know the coaching, the program, and how I work with people together better. But also, like, people who are watching this, Proy was somebody who took action. So it's like I could tell her everything, and if she didn't take action and she had really high standards for herself and she took action, and if somebody's willing to take action, I can show them the way and they will get results. But if others are always finding a way out before they even start, like, you can have the best strategy, best tactics, it won't get you any results. So this is for that. Yeah, really nice. So we also have, like, we are now working 2 months together, and you have your first client. And I also think that your like effective hourly rate is pretty good for that client if you calculate like this. So what, like, if you knew before, would you start working together with me again if you knew before what results, what was on the inside and what results you were getting?
Yeah. Because first, you know, we had this time where we said, okay, it's going to be 6 months.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, yeah, after 6 months, I'll get my first client.
Yes.
Yeah, so definitely yes. Because I learned so much. And it's not just I think for me, I have a really strong feeling, like a gut feeling. And sometimes I don't follow it. And yeah, you always like show me the deeper strategy, because I also try to work with someone else. I think we talked about it. I also, yes. someone talked to me as well, because I think, yeah, I was working sometime before as a freelancer, not freelance, but I was taking projects, but I always get really low pay and had to work really hard for it. And I didn't enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I had a potential to be a freelancer, but I felt like, okay, I have too little projects to do it full time.
Okay.
And I knew, like, before when I other people talk to me, it didn't have the same feeling when I work with you. Because it really felt like, even though you were guiding me, it didn't feel like your project. It felt always like my unique product. You know, it's not like someone else in our community would have the same product as me. No.
Yes.
Like, they're having their own path and they're achieving their goals and I'm achieving mine. So that's what I also like, because it feels very personalized.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there is a structure, it yeah. never, like, there's another person in the community is doing the same as me.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like that.
So from what I remember, you also quit the other coaching when we started working together.
Yeah.
So why was that?
Because it felt like the path was not, you know, as I said, I have a gut feeling and I have a feeling for something, and I felt it was not aligning with my personality.
Yes.
Or like the goal I want to go. And it felt like he just wanted me to sell.
Yes.
And I'm like, yeah, but I need to find this. I have to find, I still feel that my service was not really what I want to do.
Yes.
It didn't felt ready.
And people feel it when you talk with them in a sales call or a negotiation. They feel that you are not sold on your offer.
Yeah. Because I always feel you're listening to me. I think that was the biggest thing too. I think as a salesperson, you always know you have to be a really good listener, because you understand then their pain points, because I felt like he was not listening to me, what I want also.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I stopped working with him.
Yeah. Funny thing, somebody else told me a similar thing in our, which is also in our community, in our program. She was also in another coaching and felt different with me. But like I always say, like selling is really important and it's a really good skill to have. But selling is just one part of the whole thing. The thing before is like your strategy. What do you do? What do you offer? If you have a good strategy and a nice offer like we developed for you, you have a much easier time selling because you cannot, they cannot just exchange you with somebody else. You have your USP and you offer them certain things where you can charge much higher rates and get much more out of it. Nice. So is there like, would you recommend others working with me? And if so, why?
Yeah, definitely. If you are looking to like maximize your freelance career, if you have an idea or you already have it, because sometimes people neglect that, like they just sell stuff and they don't think about, you know, the strategy, like you said. And I think it's nice to also reflect back what you want, because sometimes you can get lost with just like selling, doing. And I think developing a good strategy for your freelance career, it's for both sides. Like you'll get better clients and you will feel more happy about what you provide. And it's also like, it's like a wheel, you know, you keep getting good clients and then the good clients attract better clients.
Yes.
And it just keeps going. And that's,
like
after doing this, I also realized, man, I don't want to work full time anymore.
Nice. Okay. Very nice. So also like you kind of, opened the lock from like you don't sell your time like a lot of freelancers do. Like you don't go into a company and say, okay, I sell 3 or 4 days. You now sell a deliverable. So if you are faster with this, you can leverage your hourly rate. So how does that feel instead of saying, okay, I sell you 5 days and I'm 5 days in the office for you?
Yeah. Well, I think that's like the niche that we were talking about.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, first I thought freelancer, okay, I'm going to freelance, you know, hourly rate, going to the office, joining, but that's not really my goal, really.
Yeah.
Like, because we talk about understanding my goals. And then I guess that's why I have a different offer than another freelancer.
Yes.
Because of my goals.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited to
nice.
Finally there, getting there.
Cool. And can you estimate at what, like, of course you still work your time, but can you estimate at what hourly rate you are with your new offer?
Wait.
Only if you feel comfortable with it. You don't have to, you know?
Well, it's much more than I had before.
Yes.
Like
twice as much, 3 times as much.
I think it's like 5 times more.
Okay.
Yeah, but hourly rate, of course, is the minimum that we talked about measuring. Yeah. But I think we also shift the thinking about not taking the time as a value, but like the work itself. So.
And what work does for the client.
Yeah. I think I will, like, I mean, at the beginning, yeah, we talk about, I think I will start with the timing and it will be great to have that as a base. But in the future, I don't really want to go off like my hour as a value.
Yes.
So yeah, that's.
And like, I have to tell, a lot of people are like, oh, I can tell because I don't want the clients to know that I charge so much. It's not about like, you don't charge by the hours. It's like, if you have a product and you give the client a certain result, and because you have this niche and you have processes and you have systemized it and you have even others help you, you can be even cheaper than other freelancers, which charge maybe 16, 17, 18 euros, 80 euros for like, it's okay, we charge 100 euros an hour. We need 1 week for that. This would be 4,000 euros, but you are maybe much faster and you charge 2,500 euros, but you only need 1.5 days, you know? Because you have the processes, because you do, you think as a product thinking and not like, okay, I need to take this time because otherwise I get paid less, you know? So this is the thing. It's like, a lot of people think you take advantage of the client, but it's a win-win for both, ideally. So you give the client a better result for less money, but your hourly rate is leveraged much higher than somebody who would normally sell his time.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. Nice, Proy. Why don't you tell the people what exactly, what kind of clients, what is your ideal client and how do you help them and where can people connect to you if they are interested in what you have to offer?
Okay. So yeah, my title I came up with myself, and sometimes it's a great conversation starter. So I call myself UX video pitch consultant.
Yeah.
And it sounds like lots of words, but basically it's a pitch video explaining your product, but with UX research backed up, so you can feel more confident about your product and have something that you can sell to send to your clients. And I don't really see this often because I see a lot of pitches being done, but no research. And it's just great for investors to know, okay, you've done research. I can trust on this. And I also have experience with people who also undersell themselves. Because as I research, I realize, look, the competitors are charging way more. You can charge more as well. So throughout this process, even though the end is a video, the process itself of researching and finding insights is beneficial to companies. And there's always a perception of like research is like too expensive, taking too long. So my service is hopefully going to change that. Yeah. Because my approach is more about personal connection and talking, I'm still setting up my ultimate goal because I want to have my own like consultant agency.
Yeah.
I have my website, which you can visit, proyb.com. Mm-hmm. Or you can find me on LinkedIn with the name Proy. I think not a lot of people had that name, so you should be able to find me.
Yes.
Yeah, so that is my service.
Nice. I can, like, I'm also from the UX field, and I can imagine it's really nice to have this usually really dense, dry research thing, like, wrapped up in a short, precise video presentation where the investors or maybe other people don't have to go through every slide and look at every slide. They just see a 90 seconds or 120 seconds or a few minute video pitch, which is backed up by research, which is like, I didn't, like, we came up together with the, like, you had the idea, but I didn't see this kind of thing before. This is why I pushed you to go out to the market. And you did a great job and you landed your first client after 2 weeks of really trying to sell and selling. And I'm sure this is just the beginning, and I'm looking forward to continuing working together with you. And I'm really happy to have you as a client. And thank you so much, Proy.
Thank you as well. Yeah? I surprised myself working with you.
Nice. Is there anything else you wanted to say?
No, I think everyone has potential. So yeah, you just have to give it a shot.
Nice. This is a nice ending. So for everybody watching, thanks you for tuning in, and we hear you at the next client interview, and see you next time. I'm Marwan from Finding Freelancing. Bye bye.
Wenn du es bis hierhin geschafft hast, gehe ich davon aus, dass dir die heutige Episode gefallen hat. Bewerte uns bitte auf iTunes, Spotify oder dem Medium, auf dem du diesen Podcast gerade hörst. Teile diese Folge auch gerne mit einer Person, die genau diese Message gerade braucht. Auf finally-freelancing.de/Termin beschreibe ich genau meine 3-Schritte-Strategie für einen effektiven Stundensatz von bis zu 500 Euro als Freelancer. Schau dir das Video an und implementiere diese Methoden schon heute in deine Selbstständigkeit. Ich wünsche dir einen schönen Tag und freue mich, wenn du das nächste Mal einschaltest beim Finally Freelancing Podcast.